Welcome back to the Perth Business Podcast. On this episode, I chat to Kian Brennan from Quantum Contract Solutions. I'm really excited to share this episode because it's a bit different to what we've spoken about before, and it's a whole new industry for me. We talked about innovative service delivery models, effective project delivery in a competitive environment amongst corporations with really complex operations and systems, and most interestingly, the resources in Perth and our future. Kian talks about how he thinks Perth is the powerhouse for international business, and I'm not going to give too much away, so give this episode a listen. Make sure you subscribe. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, so jump online. Once you've given this episode a listen, let us know what you think. Thanks so much for coming onto our podcast, Kian. Am I saying it right?
Yes, you're saying it right. Yep.
Yes. Nailed it.
Yes. I think at least five times a day I have to correct someone.
Oh, yeah, man. What do they say?
Well, I've got a range.
Yeah.
There's the most acceptable one that I'll take is cayenne.
Okay.
Oh, like the color?
I'm like, okay, I can see why, because it's spelled that way.
Yep.
Cyan is probably the most offensive.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
But in fairness, Kian, it doesn't look like how, like, it's not phonetic.
Yeah.
So it is Irish and it has like a k sound. Mm. So it's like, it is different.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of used to it. And I went through a stage where I just let it happen. And I was like, no, I'm going to slowly teach the world how to say it properly. one person at a time.
Yeah.
Not winning. But yeah.
What do you get on your coffee cup?
Sorry?
What do you get on your coffees?
What do I order?
Yeah, like, I mean, what do they spell when you tell them your name?
Oh, yeah, they normally, they spell it right.
Okay,
well, because I'd spell it with them.
Oh, okay, good.
But, no, but that's not a help because the spelling makes it worse, right? Yeah. So, but generally I just go to the one coffee shop and then just train them up.
Yeah,
nice. Slowly, yeah. And then,
never leave that coffee shop.
That's it, yeah. When I have to go somewhere else, I'm like, oh no, here we go.
Yeah, we've all been there. I feel like all of us have, like, I get Tara, Karen.
Karen's the worst one for you, I think.
Yeah, I think that triggers me a lot. Yeah. It used to be a joke in the office.
Karen?
Yeah, because they're like, oh my God, hi Karen. And I'm like, it's Karen, but with a T.
It's Karen.
Yeah.
My name's Karen.
I'm also far younger.
Yeah. And I don't have the temperament of a Karen, please.
No.
Unless you catch me, like, someone quitting, cutting the queue. I'm like, here comes Karen.
Yeah, I think Eleanor's the worst one for me.
Eleanor? Oh, yeah. I did go there.
Yeah. Didn't I? Right. Sorry. It's okay, I understand. Like, I'll forgive you because you're Irish. It's all right. It's the Australians that I get mad at. I'm like, what could I possibly be saying?
I didn't see it written down anywhere,
in fairness. That's true. Okay, all right. Well, that's fine. People see it written down and they're still like they see it spelled with an A and they're still like Eleanor.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what actually is even more offensive? Like, I'm joking, right? When someone just sees my name and they just go, hi, Kieran.
No, what?
And they just completely go, I can't even deal with that. I'm going to call them something completely different.
I'm going to try.
Fine.
It's like being C-I-A-N. Hi, Tyler. Nice
yeah.
to meet you.
Nice, yeah, like, yeah. And then sometimes people go, Brennan. Hi, Brennan.
Brennan.
Yeah, yeah, that's happened to me. Hi, Brennan. And then I go straight back to them like, hi, Morrison.
Had many conversations with Scomo lately? Or? So thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so keen to talk about your history, who you are and what you've achieved. A little bit of background on Eleanor for the listeners. So Eleanor is, I would say we work quite closely together.
Yes,
in
we do.
Proximity. Yeah. But you are you're studying a PhD at the moment.
Yeah, I am.
So tell us a little bit about that. Give us a little brief intro into why you're hosting this podcast with me.
Okay. Well, first of all, I love a chat. I moved over from Canberra about a year ago, and I'm really keen to, like, learn more about what Perth has to offer. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a great way to do that, really. And so I'm doing a PhD in geography, so it's very participatory, and basically I just spent a lot of time hanging out with people, and I'm examining the PNG diaspora here in Perth.
Mm.
So yeah,
I like that word, participatory.
Participatory.
Mm. Come on, we're a participatory podcast.
Oh yeah, we are. Yeah,
we.
That is the we. Then I'm just like, I'm here now.
Yeah, so I suppose what we do on this podcast is learn all about the business owner that we interview. So you recently took out a title for 40 Under 40. Can you tell us, please, all about that and what you achieved in that award?
Someone asked me about, well, you know, what's the plan now? What are you doing? And then were you excited about that 40 Under 40? And I kind of said, oh, that was kind of an award for the work that I did over the last, say, 3 years. Mm-hmm. That was that, you know, and now I'm kind of in a different phase. So it's kind of like, right. It's hard to kind of assess. And it was nice to be recognized for having an innovating business and a fast growing business. That's essentially what it's for.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But it also gets you to look around Perth and mm-hmm. see what other cool people are doing. Mm-hmm. And also one of the best parts of the whole thing was meeting new people. But also it wasn't just mining and oil and gas companies.
That is cool.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
And it's just, there was a guy there who was putting some sorts of trackers into pregnant women.
Oh.
So you can see where they're going.
That sounds
probably
no.
I was like, I have a few questions.
Yeah. No, but it's to monitor the baby. Oh. Right? And he's like 30 something and he designed this thing. I was like, wow, that's incredible. So there's loads of cool little things going on like that.
Yeah.
So it was nice to be when I saw all the other people there, it's kinda like, wow, it's kinda nice to be part of this group.
Yeah, so it's like a real community of people.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, it was 40 people.
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So
there are more people nominated, aren't there? Like, you can vote.
There's hundreds and hundreds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. We had, I think it was Ella from Employee. She started her own, because she's someone who we've had on the podcast before. And
yep.
she, that's the only reason I really know too much about it, because I'm actually not super familiar with how it works and who can, like, how you're recognized. So, it's interesting to hear it's about. I assumed it was something to do with growing your business successfully, but also the innovation part's really unique and I think good for WA.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's business news. It's their thing, right? So my company also was a finalist in Telstra Best of Business for innovation mm-hmm. and outstanding growth as well. So that's a different thing, but it's nice to be recognized.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's awesome. So, unless you're making up an accent, you're not from WA, are you?
No, I'm not. Although my accent has certainly slowed down significantly. I've been here since 2008, late 2008.
I was going to say, I can actually understand you. Wild. Yeah.
And I have an Australian wife and my kids are Australian.
There you go.
Well, they're Australian and Irish.
So you've infiltrated us and you're here to stay.
Yeah, from within. Yeah.
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 Yeah, tell us more about that. So where are you from originally?
Yeah, so originally from I'm originally from the west of Ireland, mm-hmm. a place called Galway.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, you know, my grandfather had a construction company. And very successful construction company in Galway. And actually, when he died, the title on the Galway Advertiser was "The Man Who Built Galway."
Yeah, wow.
There's a picture of him. So I don't know how that happened, but I always wanted to get into construction because of him.
Right.
And so there's a bit of, like, my first job was 12 on the construction site, sweeping, right?
Classic.
Yeah. Nice. And so it's a really good story of me. This is me and my cousin Brian.
Yeah.
And we were on a construction site. My parents wanted to check, see what we were up to. You know, my dad was very, you know, I want to get my job. I want to get my sweeten.
Sweeping,
you know. Yeah. And we were basically a laborer for a bricklayer. Yeah. So you get all the mortar and you put it on his little pallet and he does the thing. And you're just there all day. And, I can't remember, one day someone goes, "Can you guys drive a dumper?" Right?
Stop it.
Yeah. And we were like,
so much fun.
We were just like, yeah, of course we can.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely cannot. Right?
You'll be the pedals. I'll be the steering wheel.
Exactly.
Yeah, got this.
Yeah. So we got driving the dumper one day. And then so you go, okay, go pick up that stuff, bring it up. And then my parents drove by the building site and they looked in and they just saw me driving around in this dumper. Like, you know, next thing you know, there's a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. It wasn't, but...
Like, not now, Mom, it's smoker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, you're embarrassing me in front of the guys, right? Yeah. So, so starting construction early and... So my granddad was a contractor. So that in construction, that means you're the guy who, you know, the government or developer wants to build something and they award a tender and you go and build it, right? So you're a contractor, basically. So he was one of those. And the advice that they gave me, you want to go into construction, was, well, you don't want to do that.
Right. Forget your dreams.
Yeah, forget your dreams. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to go to university and you want to get a degree and you want to go client side. Because when you're on the client side, it's a more sustainable job. You're going to get paid more money. And so I did that. And so I got, you know, a degree in construction economics and management, got a master's in engineering management, and started in a job. Definitely probably shouldn't have done that. I really wanted some excitement. So left, came to Australia, went up to the Pilbara, thought it was the best thing ever. Loved it. It was cool. The fly in, fly out. I just thought it was, this is crazy. This is great. Like I'm making so much money and I'm so young. You know, I was just like, I'm just spending it. It was life. Great. Yeah. It was great.
Yeah. What do you think what do you reckon the craziest thing you bought was with all that?
With all that, like, you know, all that money that I probably should have saved, but instead of I spent.
like, would you say you're like late?
I think it was more just doing things.
You know,
just spending, okay, let's go here. And then, you know, it still was a lot of money for us, but yeah, it still wasn't very much money.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things. So you could just afford to go on a nice holiday or, you know, something like that. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah.
And so then after that, I got to Australia and then same again, was here for a while, and then oil and gas boom happened and started to work for some of the bigger oil and gas companies, and then same again, got bored again. And so I'm going to go to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Right?
That's as you do.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
So I went to Saudi. At this stage I was, I mightn't say this on the podcast, but I had a long-term commitment, right, with girlfriend at the time. And we went to... So I went to Saudi, right, and working for Saudi Aramco. It's the biggest company in the world, full stop, but biggest oil and gas company. And then went to Qatar, and we lived in Qatar for guts of 4 years.
Yeah, wow.
And then I worked in Iraq for 2 years.
Far out.
Yeah, so the bottom of Iraq, there's a place called Qasr, and it's exactly where Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait, right there.
Whoa.
So that was going to work every day in a bulletproof vest. Really, you know, I did really want the adventure.
you certainly got it. Sounds like.
And then eventually, so what was happening there was, even though the adventure was good, I was definitely still unfulfilled in work.
Yeah. Okay.
And the reason was because in my line of business, what I was doing was these contractors were submitting all their claims to me. All their variations, and it'd come into me and they'd be terrible, bottom line. Right. It'd be really bad, right? And so they never understood that what I would have to do is I'd have to take their terrible claims, turn them around, and present them internally, like it was Shell at the time, and then do we pay these guys or not, basically? Mm. And they'd be like, based on that evidence, no.
Yeah.
But even before that, I'd be like, well, I'm not taking this bad like this. So then they wouldn't get paid.
Yeah.
And then these guys just kept going out of business, kept going, losing money left, right, and center. And they were actually doing a good job on site. They just couldn't get their paperwork together and couldn't get their contracts stuff together at all.
You know, that's not their bread and butter, is it? It's putting these contracts together.
Exactly. And so they just kept getting it wrong. And then over time, I was like, you know what? I had this kind of epiphany moment. I was chatting to a friend of mine. He was the CEO of a large contracting company that was very successful in the Middle East. They came to Australia as well and very successful here too. And he told me about how construction companies grow. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, look, most companies only concentrate on doing a good job on site, right? Which is what you think you would concentrate on.
Yeah.
And if you do a good job on site, you're going to get repeated work and going to get referred work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, right? But if you only concentrate on that, right, you're going to get done over contractually.
Mm.
And it happens time and time again. So what you need to do is you need to be able to deliver on site. You need to deliver on your paperwork as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, if you have both of those things, you're going to be good.
Right.
Yeah.
They were so strong commercially that they would win a tender at a loss to make sure they win the tender, knowing that in the construction period, they'd make up their profit in there. Right. That's how strong they were at it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I know exactly how these big companies work on the inside. So if I could create a business that helps the small guys navigate the inside of the business, I can give them all of the contractual stuff to make sure they get paid more money, to make sure they avoid disputes, and they just don't get pushed over, they don't get bullied.
Yeah, wow.
And so that's where the idea came from. And that's really, I've kind of almost described what my business does.
Yeah.
And so really what we do is we help construction companies, you know, 4 million to say 50 million. So companies that don't have enough money to hire internal legal counsel, internal contracts people, we help them sign better contracts, and then in the front end, and then in the back end, make sure they have all the paperwork in place, all the boring stuff that they don't want to do, to make sure that they make more money on their projects.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's a real like soft skill development and making sure that all like the dots are, you know, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
And I'm personally from a, you know, we've won lots of awards from it, but the best thing is personally, I felt before that I wasn't really contributing in a way that my granddad would have liked. Whereas now it's I think he would like that I'm helping the smaller guy.
Yeah.
Except probably wouldn't have liked the tech or the retainer model of we don't do, you know, hourly rates or anything like that. That's the kind of a key differentiator.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I've always viewed that hourly rates are, you know, they incentivize the person giving the hourly rates to do a bad job and not to be efficient. Because if, you know, if you do a bad job on an hourly rate to get you to close it out, you got to stay on longer to do it.
Yeah, right.
Gotcha. Or, the, you know, so it's not efficient. At least with the retainer model, you pay me a monthly subscription. Mm-hmm. And we're both incentivized to get it done quickly. Because if it takes me longer, it costs me longer. It takes you longer, you don't get what you're looking for.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So that's the whole, that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah, and what's it called?
Quantum Contract Solutions, and then also Quantum Legal Solutions.
Yeah, okay, awesome. How do you make your connections in terms of like, it sounds like you've got personally have a very good network with these businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming referrals is something that, you know, is quite useful for you and works for you to gain, you know, acquisition. Do you have any other strategies to find new business in that area, or are you kind of like, you just stick with the group that you've got at the moment?
Yeah, so referrals is a tricky one, right? Because we have a really good referral process now, but we didn't always. Because everyone used to be like, oh, we really want to refer you, but we kind of don't want to give our colleagues the edge.
Right.
And we're like, oh no, but where are you?
That's an interesting dilemma.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, so that kind of happened. But no, our front end acquisition is very strong. So we have, until this week, we've never used advertising ever.
What? This week? Great timing.
Yeah, I know. This week we started.
Yeah.
What sort of platforms?
Well, I won't go into the advertising, but everything organic has been on LinkedIn. So we have, we basically have, you know, you got these, you know, basically, you know what a guru business is?
Google Your Business, yeah.
No, a guru business.
I do not.
A guru business is a business that kind of like, you know, you got one guy, he's on the YouTube channel, and then it's his business, blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of like, you know, a lot of businesses are these ways at the moment. So we don't do that at all. But we use some of those strategies on LinkedIn to create personal relationships. So we have a load of LinkedIn profiles, and then we have a load of content that individual person posts on their own LinkedIn profile that work for me. And then we all reach out to them individually as well on the DMs LinkedIn. So
is that how you overcame that initial problem of your clients not wanting to refer you to their competitors?
Yeah, we got good cold acquisition, basically.
Yeah, that's personal.
But we do have now, we've got a really good referral acquisition part, which is you kind of have to incentivize the person who's going to refer you. And also the person that's going to be, who's going to get it.
Yeah, okay.
And then once we had that in place, now it's going pretty well.
Yeah, great.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So with the network that you sort of facilitate on LinkedIn, is that part of the reason why you started a podcast? So you have the best in the West. Is that part of your business, or is that something you do separately?
So we have a YouTube channel called Construction Secrets. We have a podcast called Construction Secrets.
Okay.
And that's all to do with the business.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the new strategy I was talking to you a little bit about.
Yeah.
And that strategy is quite simple in that it's YouTube videos. People watch YouTube videos, retarget them with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
Relatively simple.
Yeah.
But also quite complex because we put the YouTube videos onto LinkedIn and then we have a couple of landing pages. Anyway, it all
feeds into the funnel.
It all feeds into the funnel. So what was the question again?
So basically, is the reason that you started the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know you had two different podcasts, so one part of the business and one that you've done on your own.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about both of them and why, maybe lead into why you started The Best in the West? Because I want to talk a little bit more about your involvement or your interest in businesses in Perth in particular, like culturally, you know, all the things that you do and why you speak to people like that.
Yeah. So The Best in the West was born out of a bit of anger.
Right? Love it. Zest in the West.
Bit of zest in the West. And it was because business was doing well and I have an Irish passport.
Plenty to be angry about, obviously.
Yeah, but I also have an Australian passport. And I was like, well, you know, you start looking at tax strategies and business setups and what's the best way, what's the most efficient way. And the ultimate advice was, no, leave Australia, go to Ireland.
Okay.
Right, because Ireland's corporation tax is 12%. Much more friendly. The headquarters of LinkedIn, Google, Twitter, they're all based in Ireland.
Really?
Right, and it's a tax.
Yeah.
And even in WA, Rio Tinto's based in Singapore. And it is essentially quite hard. People that do well in business in WA do well in spite of everything. It's in spite of.
Right.
It's not because of.
Right.
And some people will say, oh, well, you know, WA is a great place to live in. And it is, right? Yeah. For sure. The quality of life is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's not the best place to do business in.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Do you think even compared to like the East Coast?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, if you look at Canva, Melanie Perkins is from Perth.
Yeah.
She's not here.
No.
Yeah. So, you know, just asking questions. So then it was like, okay, well, the government, and I don't want to get too political, right? But the government typically, and we can look up these stats, is like 10 times less efficient at deploying capital than the private sector, right? And the reason, obviously, the private sector has to make a profit. You make better decisions because, you know, and you also have probably smarter people. I mean, the PM only gets paid 200 and something K, and you know, you'd have truck drivers in the Pilbara who get paid similar money.
Yeah, wow. I've heard it like that before actually.
But the head of ANZ, the head of Anydos banking companies, they're getting paid millions and millions of dollars. And so the quality, this is a personal opinion, is I think the quality of people in government is not strong enough. Right. And so entrepreneurs, I call the people in the 40 under 40 and the people I interview in my podcast, most entrepreneurs are solution oriented people. Okay. Most people are problem oriented people. Your majority of people are problem oriented. Very good at spotting a problem. But entrepreneurs are very good at finding, okay, well, there's a problem. Let's find a solution.
Right. Okay.
And so the purpose of my podcast is to chat to the most successful people in WA and politicians, right, as well, right, to be fair. And figure out what's the biggest problem, what are the solutions?
How can we
because I feel that the solutions are gonna come from those people.
Yep.
They're probably not gonna come from government. The government will implement them, but the solutions are gonna come from the smart business people who have succeeded in spite of everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the one of the big premises I have is the WA is in a fantastic time zone. Right, for the next 50 years,
okay.
Right? Because China is clearly on the rise, clearly as a superpower. If you look at any of Ray Dalio's, you know, he owns the biggest investment firm in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
He's talked time and time about China rising. They're going to clash with America. It's happening, of course. You can see it. Mm-hmm. They're becoming the next superpower. But that's great because it's in our time zone. We're the only Western-speaking country in this time zone.
Yeah.
Right? Other than Singapore, I guess, could be considered that as well from a speaking point of view. But so our competition really isn't East Coast. Mm. It's actually Singapore, Hong Kong.
Yeah, wow.
And so if we could make WA a really good place to do business in, right? And some of the ideas from entrepreneurs have been, if we somewhere, this is just an example, in the Northwest somewhere, right? If there's an area that we want to develop, we make it like an economic zone.
Mm-hmm.
And in that economic zone, it's like, if you want to start your business up there, you can go up there and your tax on your business is going to be way less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And so business is going to flood up there. It's going to be development. And all of a sudden, you've got the combo. You've got a combo of an amazing lifestyle in Perth or in Western Australia, great weather, but also great business environments for businesses other than mining and oil and gas.
Yeah.
Because mining and oil and gas will eventually go.
Yep.
Right?
It's not forever.
It's not forever, obviously. Obviously. So what is it, what is the alternatives? So we have a competitive advantage right now on oil and gas and mining, right as it stands right now. Mm-hmm. If we lose that a competitive advantage, what becomes of WA?
Mm.
If all of a sudden they're not as valuable anymore as commodities, where are we? What's our industry? We don't really have much tourism. And even just another thing that always boggled my mind a little bit is if you just look at Australia and you look at how you fly to Australia,
mm.
from Ireland, from England, you know, all the people that are here, right? South Africa, right? Yeah. You come from the West, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why, if you look at the East Coast of Australia, Brisbane is a proper city. Geraldton's a little town.
Mm.
What is that about?
Yeah.
Right? Why is all of that coastline, why is that not developed for tourism and vacant, you know?
I find it so weird coming over here and like when I was in Canberra, I would leave like every month and go somewhere else. And there's like, you know, I could go to Sydney, I could go home, or I could go to Melbourne, and you'd drive around. Even like driving up and down like around Canberra, there was always like little heaps of little places to go to. Whereas I kind of struggle to like leave Perth in a sense because there's just not like that same development.
Mm.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't, like, I'm sure people are going to kick back now and listen to this podcast and go, well, if you don't like it, then leave, right?
I love it here. The beaches are great. The weather's amazing. I love Perth so much.
Yeah. But it's actually harder to say, yeah, I like it. I love it. Mm. Right? I will be here. Yeah. I just want it to be better. I want to be one of those people that say, hey, this can be better. We don't have to be a mining town.
No.
It's almost like a bit of an insult when people call Perth a town, right?
Yeah.
It's a small little backhanded compliment.
But yeah, I think it's funny because like people that we interview on this podcast, they love Perth for the blank canvas that it is. They love it for being the mum and dad business owned sort of hub of Australia. They love it for having the open spaces and everything in Perth. I could not even an hour's drive away.
Mm.
So I don't think it's right to say that they're holding back the advancement of WA, but I think there's a certain comfort in if you've grown up here and you've moved to the big smoke being Perth town,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, the city. For them, that's a comfort. It's what they've known. It's what they like about Perth. But I do think there's a generation of business, you know, entrepreneurs that are coming up and are recognizing that we're so different from everywhere, and that's a good thing. But there's also differences that we need to improve upon. So like the tourism, like you were saying, I think mm-hmm. the fact that Margaret River is so quiet and all the businesses shut down on public holidays is like,
it's bonkers.
Bonkers. Yeah. Yeah. It's like
there's so much to offer. And even the things that I think are amazing about WA, like the camping and the sort
just
of
the expanse.
The expanse, yeah. That is really cool. And I just think, I feel like that there's some opportunities there to get people to be excited about Perth, you know?
As a natural phenomenon.
Yeah.
I mean, I am really talking about a business landscape.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, personally, you know, I ride my bike every day.
Mm.
I go riding with groups every day. Like before I'm finished, had a ride, had a social conversation in beautiful weather before, like, you know, 7:30, I'm at my desk at 8 a.m., right? Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right? And you can't get there. And so, you know, stand-up paddleboarding, anything active is fantastic, right? I'm just talking about from a business perspective.
Mm.
And I'm like, I'll be honest, right? I honestly believe that everyone looks out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I do believe you are the best indicator of what someone's going to do is what is in their best interest, right? And then people might disagree, but I do believe that. And I'm telling you, what's in my best interest is for my family, my kids, my two daughters that are growing up here. I want them to have like opportunities.
Mm.
I don't want them to be grow up to be 16, 17, and 18, and all they want to do is go somewhere else.
You want to be able to grow roots here.
Exactly.
It's definitely a common trend at the moment. I feel like half my friends, like, they've just all gone to Melbourne.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's great. And I'm like, but the weather's terrible. They're like, yeah, but it's better for everything else.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. Mm. Yeah. Oh, poor Perth. We're just shitting on Perth. But We did. We do have some good people that come out of Perth. And going back to what you were saying before about why you interview certain people on your podcast. So what have been some really, this is going to be really hard to nail down, but like some takeaways that you have sort of learned from the key people that you've had on your podcast? Or is there something synonymous across every single person that you've interviewed that you can say, you know, is unique about why they are successful in WA in particular?
Yep.
If that's a theme that you cover?
Yep, yep. Yeah, for sure. One of the things is, let me just think, there's a guy, there's three people, right? There's there's Joe Oliver from DeLorean Group. Mm-hmm. Right? I'll tell you a story about him. Sophie from Alf the Label. Mm-hmm. Do you know Alf the Label?
Yeah,
the clothing company?
Yeah,
clothes. And there's one other one that I was really impressed with as well. There was a guy called Taj. He sold a business at 14. He started
14.
A business at 13, right? 10. 9. But I won't talk about Taz. That's just a good story, right? But the two others, right? They both had these horrible moments where you're like, oh, like that. Like if you can imagine starting a business, and like I think Sophie had this issue where she got shafted basically.
Yeah.
She spent all this money on a supplier and it just was a complete scam, right?
Mm-hmm. I think I heard her speak at something. It was to do with her e-commerce platform, but yeah, she did tell a little fraction of that story,
yeah,
which is fascinating,
which is good. And then Joe Oliver, basically in DeLorean Group, do this, they extract energy from waste. Mm-hmm. Right, which is fantastic.
The and future.
Yeah, so they were extracting energy from waste and they were giving it to Western Power. And Western Power were like, oh, this is great that you have all this energy, we really need it, but we can't take it, we have no facility to take the energy from you. So he's like, I have this amazing product or service, which basically creates energy from waste, which is fantastic, yeah, right? But you're not
going to build a facility?
So what they did was they started another business,
yeah,
part of the same business, mm-hmm, that was a construction business that built the infrastructure that they needed.
Nice.
Solved their own problem.
Problem. So I'm talking about solution-oriented people,
yeah,
right? And then from there, they are now essentially building their own market.
Wow.
So the more construction they do, the more they can sell.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic.
They've absolutely cornered
it. It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
So that was one trait, so solution-orientated people. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is people work really hard.
Mm.
Really, really hard. And I think that's something that there's been this 4-hour work week sort of mentality,
mm,
you know, start a passive income, 4-hour work week, don't work very hard, make a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. That's the kind of stuff that's been thrown around, but that's not actually, if you want to be successful as an entrepreneur, that's not what it looks like.
Mm.
And like for the last 2 months, I've been up every day at 4:30,
yeah,
because we're starting in the US. So I have, my first meeting is 5.
Yeah.
Right. And then my last, and at night time, it's same again. I have 8 to 9 and potentially 9 to 10 the odd time.
Yeah.
The thing is, you just have to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. And all these people that were in that, like Joe Oliver and Sophie, in those positions where they just had to do stuff or else it was just all going to tank.
Mm. Yeah.
And then really people work really hard.
Yeah, that's not a unique thing that I've heard across people that we interview. They say like, you sometimes quit your full-time job to go work on your passion, you know, air quotes, passion project, because if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's completely not the case. It's,
yeah,
if you want it to be successful and you want to work on that thing that you are passionate about,
mm-hmm,
you work way harder.
You work way
completely
harder.
Like, it's not 9 to 5. It's like, no, it's double
all day,
yeah,
all night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'd like to say to people listening to this is actually make that cool again.
Mm, yeah.
Make active business, make working hard cool again.
Yeah.
And I will say though that when you're working hard in your own business, it's completely different to working hard in someone else's,
yes,
business.
Yeah.
It's different. You want to do it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you want to do, like, because it's no problem. You just, and then you have to. You just, yeah, have to's and want to's. And, but either way, the sense of satisfaction is fantastic.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And I think the important thing that people want to get away from the 9 to 5 is they want more flexibility, which when you're running your own thing, it's probably going to be a lot harder at the beginning to create flexible timelines. Or not, depends on what you're doing. But in that way, like you know, like you were saying, you want to be able to work from 4:30 to like 12 and then maybe have a 4-hour break and whatever it is, like that's how your meetings or your workload works,
yeah,
out that week.
Yeah.
the flexibility is what people, I think that's the key thing that people want, as opposed to not having to work and then not working for someone else as well. I think there's a massive motivator to work harder when you're not putting money in someone else's pocket and having to completely just get on your knees and beg for a pay rise, you know?
Yeah.
It's that freedom.
And then the other thing is this, it's from an entrepreneur's point of view, the biggest thing I've noticed, and I've noticed in all the people I'm interviewing as well, it really is becomes of not what you need to do, what are the things you need to do, it's who you need to become to do those things.
That
is the completely different mindset shift. Okay. It's like, who do I need to be to grow my business? And then you have to, first of all, you got to develop skills to be that person. Then you have to develop the character traits that you need to be able to become that person.
All right.
That's different to just having skills and doing things. Yeah. It's like, who do I need to be? And when you can answer that question, then you're obviously on your way to success, in my opinion.
Yeah. Are you talking about like a business owner having to wear all the different hats and like marketing and sales and...
Everything. Yep. That's in the first instance, it's that. And then when you're a CEO or when you're a COO or whatever you are in your business at the time, it's who do I need to be to inspire and lead people? Mm. And then like, you know, a lot of people, I really don't buy into, I put a lot of value on statements around I am. Mm. Right. So people say, I am this person, you know, I am not good at this, or I am not whatever. I really don't buy into that, because if you want to be a successful entrepreneur, it doesn't matter if you are or not, you have to be that person that needs to be. It doesn't matter if you don't like reports and numbers.
Yeah.
You need to be the type of person who can handle reports and numbers.
Right. Yeah.
You need to be a type of, you don't like talking to people. You need to be the type of person who can lead people, regardless if you don't like talking to people.
Of your own feelings. Yeah.
So like, that's what I mean by it's who you need to be. And developing character traits and skills rather than just, you know, what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So it becomes like a whole personality and like figuring out how to really like drive yourself to be someone that people can follow.
Yeah.
Did you struggle with anything like that? Like in terms of, I suppose if you are to be a manager and then a leader and then a company leader, you would come up against different challenges and you'd probably see the results very quickly if you're not doing it properly, like that turnover of staff or, you know, whatever.
All the time. Everything, at every stage.
Yeah.
Like tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, it's just constant.
Yeah. Is there a pinnacle for you where you just kind of, you were like, okay, well, I know I can't do that, so I need to hire someone for that.
Yeah.
Or that was really, really horrible. I don't ever want to be an accountant or, you know, whatever it might be.
It's kind of, it's all stages. Like, let's just say you start and you become $1 million business and you're like, woo, I've got $1 million business. Right. That's
I think
like,
the woo would be a little bit louder.
Yeah. So you tick that off, but then you're actually, you've just entered as the smallest member in the $10 million club. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's always because it's such a fry.
Yeah.
Striving for something better. Yeah.
And so that works in your business as well. So, you know, you initially start off and you're wearing all the hats. Mm. And then you identify the part of the business that is the biggest constraint. So probably marketing and sales when you first start off. Mm. And then you sort that out and you grow that, and then more work comes in and you got a problem with your service or your delivery. And then it's that. So it's never one moment. It's just identifying the constraint and getting rid of the constraint. But then you move up a level. So when you get up to the constraint, so me doing sales, you know, I had to learn how to sell, and then I learned how to sell. Mm. And then I hired salespeople. So what's the next skill? It's not selling, it's teaching people how to sell. Mm. And then the next skill after that is teaching how do you scale a sales team? Mm. It's another skill. Yeah. Right. And that's just in sales. And you have the same set of skills that you need to develop, and then character traits that you need to, first of all, understand the skill, how to sell. Then you need the character traits to be able to teach people how to do that.
Yeah.
And that's the same in marketing, same in sales, same in your delivery, same in your retention of your clients, and then same in your finance. You know, you first of all, it's fine to just look at how much money is coming in, how much money is going out. And all of a sudden that becomes a bit, you know, amateur.
Yeah.
You got to start knowing more numbers.
Yeah.
So it all. So it's never one thing.
Yeah.
It's just understanding that I need to level up at every little thing.
Yeah. So do you then look to leaders in these specific areas to understand how they act and the kinds of like personality traits that they cultivate? Or
the way I've always done it is I've always learned it myself.
Yeah.
And then rolled it out.
Yeah.
That's because I want that skill first. Yeah. I've never been a big fan of hiring companies to do the things for me because I don't understand it and I don't have that skill.
Yeah.
Mm. And then I can't really, I don't know, is that the right thing? What is the barometer of success?
Yeah.
Right. Are you like, should I be okay that you're only bringing me in 4 leads a week as a marketing company? Is that like normal or not?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or how much is that costing me? Is that normal or, you know?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Kind of.
Yeah. Well, like, what inspires you to even start? Because I think correct me if I'm not misunderstanding your question. if you're beginning a feat, no one just starts something without having some sort of influence, I suppose. So, whether you like watch someone else do it, you know, maybe in your family or from a different company and you're like, oh, well, that guy's doing that. I can do it.
Yeah.
That sort of inspiration, not necessarily outsourcing or hiring resources.
Yes. Okay, sure.
Also, like, where do you get your inspiration from?
There we go. Thank you, Sharon. Like, thanks for translating me.
Yeah. So there's my granddad. There's a picture of him and he's got Chamber of Commerce chains around his neck from Galway.
Nice.
My uncle, he was a minister of transport and education in Ireland for a long time. Mm-hmm. And there's a very famous picture of him addressing the United Nations in that famous thing.
That's pretty great.
And then my father at the moment is director general for Eurocontrol, which is basically he's in charge of the airspace for all of Europe.
Yeah,
which is
small feet.
Mm. Well, yeah. That's so he's dealing with the Ukraine stuff. Like that's his whole responsibility, making sure planes don't fly over there at the moment. Gosh. And so I didn't really. I should be careful what I say here, but it's like I wanted to just do everyone else justice, and just make my own mark as well. And I always had. I did a bit of ages and ages ago. I went to a stand-up comedy, and I was like. I can do this.
That's amazing.
I'll do this.
That's so good.
And so I did stand-up comedy for about 4 or 5 months just because I felt like I can do better than this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just had a crack. And I feel like I got to a stage in business where I was like, you know what? I'm sick of being employed. I'm really upset with how you're doing things here. And I just want to do it myself now.
Yeah. New path.
Yeah, new path. Yeah. And that's kind of, so that's what inspires me.
Yeah.
And to really do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Also my kids as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a big one.
I was going to say that kind of leads into like what you do in your free time because I'm always curious about that question. People, you know, often start with like, oh, you know, I play golf or I go for walks on the beach and that sort of thing. But what to you, like what you do in your free time, how much does that mean to you? Because I assume you don't have very much of that free time to, I mean, I'm talking like Netflix kind of forget everything for a rainy Sunday sort of time. We don't always have like every week to do that.
Yeah.
But when you do have your free time with your family or, you know, building on, like working on the business as opposed to in it, what do you do? How do you spend that time and how much do you value that? How much value do you get out of that, I suppose?
Yeah. So I'll kind of break it into categories. So personally, I ride my bike.
Mm.
Right. I love, you know, I've got a nice, awesome bike. Right. Yeah. Really like, and so I'll go every day for an hour and a half at least.
Yeah. Wow. Nice.
Mm. Probably maybe even longer.
Yeah.
And I'll use that time to learn about business.
Yeah,
and so I listen to podcasts and I listen to audiobooks and awesome. Blah, blah, blah. So that's constantly going. Mm-hmm. And honestly, so that's me. And then also as part of that, if you know, it might be early in the morning and I'll go with friends and that'll be social for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just about spending time with my family outside of that. So outside, because I work from home, everyone works from home in my business. Yeah. So it's in the morning, just being around a little bit, the odd baby chinos with the kids or, you know, go on the weekends, I don't work at all. But I feel like I would like to work, but I don't work because I want to spend that time with my family.
Yeah, family's really important.
Yeah. And honestly, because of just me personally, I'll go crazy on a thing for a period of time.
Mm.
and then I'll relax for a little bit to recuperate. So I will take some time off after that period to, you know, whatever system is I want to implement, it's implemented, and I'll kind of just watch and check in that it's happening, and then I'll take time off during the week and then spend that time. You know, it's nice when you have your own business, the odd time you can go, you know what, just today, you know, I'm just not happening today. I'm going to be useless, I'm going to be angry, and instead I'll just spend it with the family.
That's my favorite thing about my PhD, is that I'll like work until midnight for like a week in a row, and then I'll be like, can't do it. I'm taking this 2 days off, and it feels so like delicious.
Yeah,
go out, see my friends, and go for swims and
be creative.
And I feel like, I mean, personally, I really need that downtime so that my brain can kind of rest and like think about all of these complex ideas I'm trying to think through. And I like that rest time for me is sometimes just as important as the productive time.
Yeah,
you know, like stewing things and really. Think about what's going on.
Your brain never rests fully.
No, so it doesn't.
It's working out those complex problems in the background.
Yeah,
oftentimes it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you turn off your computer and you turn it back on again and it's running a bit faster. Sometimes that's the way.
Need a break. Need a break.
Exactly. Well, tell us, like, you know, what's, from your podcast point of view, what are you guys trying to achieve by who you're talking to?
In the way that you speak to people who are the most successful, I speak to people who can be authentic, and they don't necessarily have to be the most successful in WA. So they are business owners. It's more about giving them a voice where they may previously not have had one, to be able to give anyone starting a business, wanting to start a business, or maybe stuck at some position in their business, a perspective from someone who's not earning $1 million a year, because to some people that's not relatable, that's not achievable for them in the position they're currently in. Maybe it's a long-term goal. But if they do hear from like the mom and dad business owners or the Instagram chef who is now, you know, earning a lot of money from doing what he loves, which is cooking from home, that's something that I get to facilitate in a really authentic space. And I think, it's networking as well for me and for them and for each other, and people get to hear the stories that they might not from the people that you deal with every day. Like, you're going to that coffee every day from that same place. What's his story? Why did he start that cafe, you know?
Yeah, that's cool.
So
what sort of problems are those people that you're speaking to raising?
A lot of them, so that's why I asked the multiple hats question, because a lot of them are in that phase of the small business where they kind of, they're like, I'm struggling to be all the hats, or I have struggled to be all of the responsibilities and roles that I've needed to be, and this is what I've learned from it. So big challenges across that are like trying not to do everything yourself, burning out, trying not to burn out, and then sort of directing your business in the way that the environment facilitates it or allows it to grow. Because in WA, it's a blank canvas at the moment, so you can make of your business what you want. But then also, that being said, there's not always the audience for it, or maybe you don't actually get to do what you want to do and you need to pivot and change. So a lot of the stories are very much passion, like they started something from a passion and then they've navigated the path to growing it into something they would be happy to call a success. Yeah.
So, fantastic.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really cool, like on the ground sort of conversations, I feel.
Yep. Yeah.
No, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I feel like we got a lot of value out of that. I really, really enjoyed that chat. And I think all of the listeners that we have at the moment who are from a myriad of different businesses and sizes as well would gain a lot of value from your perspective and your story. So thank you so much.
Great story. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on, Eleanor. That was fun.
Happy to be here.
Yeah,
really
got something out of it.
Yeah, I'm learning heaps. I think my reflection is you were talking about people being driven by themselves, but like listening to your story, I kind of think like family and community, well, maybe not community so much, but like people's networks are what drive them, I think. When I think about my own story and like, you know, my family is who I want to inspire, who I want to inspire and who inspire me. And I think that's really special.
Yeah.
A bit cheesy, but yeah.
No, that's so cute.
Yeah. Well, I heard some interesting metaphors if you want to.
Yeah.
Listen to one. So, like in the game of life, right? It's like going into a casino, and so you sit down, you play poker or a game, and you develop some skills, and you get better at it, or you don't, right? Or mm-hmm. whatever, or you keep chugging along. But let's say you get really good. And so you start amassing chips. You start amassing chips. And so in a normal casino, you take those chips and you cash them out with your money, you'd walk out, right? But in the game of life, when you're at the end, you push them all back in.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
It's all over. Yeah. Okay. So it's what then, if that's what's happening, if that's the game that's taking place, the real question is, well, like who or what are you doing it for?
Mm. Yeah.
And then, so if you can go, well, actually, it the only people I care about are my family and my friends or whoever it is. Yeah. I don't really care about or should be infected by what other outside influences think about me. Then you're just, you know, it's going to, you know, get you better. And yeah. if you have that view on life, I think it's a good way to be.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like that. That's great.
I love that. What a good little note to end on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming on to the podcast.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Perth Business Podcast. If there's anyone that you specifically want to hear from or you think would be great on the podcast, send us a DM on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Or you can email us at theperthbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you here next time.